Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. This is at the very end of chapter 10. As Jesus is traveling with his disciples and he comes to Jericho. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples in a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. I want to tell you something about myself that probably you've never heard of, but I have a medical condition. Now, it's not the fact that I'm somewhat overweight, I know that, and like many middle-aged guys, high blood pressure and stuff like that, but that's not it. I have a condition that is called congenital anosmia. Any of you ever heard of that? To put it in plain English, I have no sense of smell. None. And I've been that way from birth. I do not understand the concept of smell. I can't smell anything. And at times, it's kind of socially awkward. As you can imagine, in situations like we get in the elevator and somebody does something unpleasant, I'm the only person that can't smell it. And if it's me that did it, then it's even worse because I can't admit to it. And sometimes it gets in the way of things. Anita can probably count at least on one hand the number of times that I've put a burner on this, something on a stove, like a pot of boiling water, and forgot about it and melted the pan because I can't smell things burning. Okay, so this is what it's like. But, there are times when I have fun with it. For instance, when the kids were small and I expected them to help out with household chores, and one of the household chores was changing the cat litter pan, and sometimes I would say, "I'm not going to change the cat litter until I can smell it." But I know that that even though I don't miss smelling because I've never had a sense of smell, I realize that my life is actually quite different from yours. I can't smell food. I do taste food, but not as well as you do. I can't smell flowers. I can't smell fresh air or freshly cut grass or food that has gone bad. So my children all remember growing up, Dad asking them at times, "Would you smell this from the refrigerator and tell me if it's gone bad?" Okay? So that's the way it is. And surprisingly, if it happens to come up in conversation that I had no sense of smell, I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody shoved something under my nose and said, "We bet you could smell this." No, I can't. I can't at all. So that is, it's actually, at times it can be rather difficult. I'm not the person that you want to be with when somebody says, "Hey, do you smell gas?" No. But there are advantages. I don't smell skunks. And when in previous churches, I've had several times dairy farmers in the congregation, and I could go visit them in their barn full of cow manure and have a conversation with them for an hour, hour and a half, and be bothered by it at all. So it's not that bad. But there are times when I do have to rely mostly on my family to help me out with things. Like, do you smell anything burning? Did you leave something on the stove? Or, as with my kids, has this food gone bad? And that's just the way it is. And don't feel sorry for me, because it's nothing I've ever had, so I don't miss it. Now, Bartimaeus, who interestingly is one of the few people in the Gospels that Jesus heals, whose name we have. And there is, when that happens, and it really doesn't happen very much at all, in fact, I think he actually may be the only person, as it occurs to me, in the Gospels that makes a cameo appearance. This is the only time you ever see him. That whose name we have. And it's probable that there was a tradition that he became one of Jesus' disciples. In fact, as the text tells us, after Jesus healed him and he regained his sight, that Bartimaeus followed him on the way, which is a specific way of saying he followed Jesus as a disciple. And you can just imagine what Bartimaeus had seen as a disciple, certainly. Well, this story, as we find it in the Gospel of Mark, is very straightforward. Jesus is down in Jericho with his disciples. Jericho is kind of southeast of Jerusalem, and it's topographically is quite different. Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level. It's on a very high ridge that runs down through Israel and the West Bank. Jericho, on the other hand, is at about 1,200 feet below sea level because it's on the edge right near the Dead Sea. And so there's about almost 4,000 feet in difference. And I visited both of those places, which was quite interesting, about 4.5 years ago. And that'll pop up in a sermon or a newsletter article some other time. So when you hear in the scriptures about going up to Mount Zion is the temple, that's why, because it's down from everywhere else you go. It's a very high spot of land. So they're out traveling, and Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is coming. He's sitting on the roadside, taking whatever donations that people are willing to give him. And when he hears that Jesus is coming, he calls out to him wanting to be healed. And once Jesus hears him, he calls to him. His friends say, "Come on, get up. He's calling to you." And Jesus asks the same question that we have heard in texts for the last couple of weeks. "What do you want me to do for you?" "I want to see again." And so Jesus heals him and he regains his sight. Now here's the difference between Bartimaeus and somebody who was born blind. He knows what it was to see, and he regains his sight. In this particular section of Mark's Gospel that we have been in for the last few weeks, we've had texts about discipleship. And they come in the form of stories of encounters that Jesus has with people. This story of Bartimaeus being healed is at the very end of this couple of chapters or so on discipleship. And interestingly, this section begins with Jesus healing somebody who was blind. And then at the end of the section, Jesus heals somebody else who is blind. In Mark's gospel, and they vary from one gospel to the next, these are the only two stories of people who are blind being healed. Now, when you look at how the stories and groupings of Jesus' teachings appear in the gospels, they actually can be quite different from one to the next. And it's pretty clear that Mark is up to something here, making a connection between blindness and discipleship and what it is to be a disciple. And we can think back to the stories that are in this chapter from the last couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the story of the young man who was very wealthy, who wanted to follow Jesus. And when asking what he needed to do to gain eternal life, Jesus' response was, at first, follow the Ten Commandments. Well, I've done that already. I've always done that. Then what you need to do is you need to sell everything you have, give your money to the poor, and follow me. And he walks away. The only person who ever turns away from Jesus' response, in the Gospels anyway, because he has a lot of possessions. He had something that was burdening him that he couldn't get rid of. And then, of course, we have James and John that we thought about last week, who are seeing discipleship, perhaps one of the perks of discipleship, as being in a position of authority and prestige. And Jesus gives them a quick tutorial on what discipleship really is. It's not about having power. It is about serving and being a slave of all. Then we come to Bartimaeus. Whose situation is more obvious. It is very clear that he is blind. And there are a lot of things in the ancient world that could have caused blindness. He may have had an accident as a child. Various illnesses that perhaps could have caused blindness. But he knew what it had been to see. And we don't know how long it is that he had been blind. It could have been quite a long time. But whatever the cause was, it had changed his life. For the worst. Just imagine that if you were not able to see. I've known a number of people that have had, I can't think of the term right offhand, where macrodegenerative disease, is that the right term? Where you gradually lose your vision, or glaucoma. And the terrifying feeling that they have knowing that there are medications that can help to keep it from advancing further, but once you've lost it, basically you've lost it. So his blindness changed his life. When we encounter people who are blind in the Gospels, it is often a metaphor for a spiritual blindness, which is not to say that people who are blind who have very bad eyesight are spiritually blind as well. It's not the point. Rather, the point is that all of us are blind in the sense that we too need help. And at times, we cannot see the truth that Jesus would have us understand about what it is to be a disciple. There's an expression that many of us probably use, and I'm fiddling with my mic here because it does not want to stay in place. You know the term a blind spot, what a blind spot is, like when you're driving the rear right corner, where sometimes you have a little trouble seeing a car coming up behind you. A blind spot might be something that sort of follows you around. Like if you walk through a room in your house and whatever you have on the wall for artwork, after a while you take for granted it's always there and you don't consciously see it. And then at some point you look at that painting or that piece of art again and you realize, how could I have missed this? But it's been there all along. Well, Bartimaeus's blindness did not affect one thing in his life, which was his persistence. when he saw, let's say figuratively saw, when he understood that someone was nearby who could help him, he jumped at the opportunity. Nobody had to encourage him. His persistence led him to call on Jesus, even in the midst of a crowd, because there were obviously many people following Jesus around. And that persistence itself was a gift. The persistence to become a disciple, to be able to see, to understand. There's an old Calvinist term, one that undoubtedly would have been preached in this building at one point or another many times during the 18th and 19th century. The term is the perseverance of the saints. The idea that God gives us the ability to persevere. It's not something that we automatically have, but God gives us the gift to persevere in coming to God, in asking for help, in growing. God gives us the ability to persevere. It's a gift of grace. Bartimaeus is a wonderful example of someone who takes that gift that is latent inside each one of us and helps him persevere, and it changes his life. But an important part of perseverance is not just what is within each one of us, but it is what is within all of us. Bartimaeus is not simply on his own by the roadside. There are others with him. And when they hear Jesus calling to him, they encourage him. Come on, get up. He's calling to you. Go over and see him. In the same way, we rely on one another for that same kind of encouragement. Because we are not alone. Even though the idea that we have planted in our minds, it would seem, is that we should all be self-reliant, not ask anyone for her help. But that's a myth. We are not self-reliant. We need each other. We need each other. Stories of people like Bartimaeus remind us of that, that we aren't alone, that the grace of God surrounds us, and that we need each other for encouragement. And Bartimaeus, I think, understood that. He understood what it was to be persistent, to use that gift of grace, and to ask for healing when the opportunity presented itself. Some of us perhaps need to rely on others for various things. With my odd little thing that I have to live with each day, I do rely on others. Bartimaeus obviously had to rely on others for quite a bit. I assume that probably his friends got him to his spot every day so that he could beg for money. But that is what being the body of Christ is, that we rely upon one another and we encourage one another. And where one is weak or needs help, then that's an opportunity for us to use the gifts that we have. Thanks be to God for the opportunities that we have to rely on each other and to help one another.
Amen.